Some of the funnest days of the year. Just enjoying the presence of God. And I don't know if you, did you bring up the barbecue, Ram, on Friday? Okay. I just want to say thanks to everybody who served on Friday. We fed all the police, Columbia County Sheriff's Department, along with the courthouse, the city of Hudson, Troop K down in Livingston, Troop F, I think it's over there on 23 in Greene County, and the village of Catskill, and then the Greene County Sheriff. So we fed, I don't know, 125 or something like that, dinners that we made. And everything that's good did the cooking, Mr. Larry Walker, and we're very grateful for that. But everybody that came, you know, we were able to streamline a little bit more than we did the last time for the nursing homes. It took us a while, but this time we did like 125 dinners. We had them done about, all packed up in about 25 minutes, and ready to go. It was just, well, you learn after the first time, you know. And one of the beautiful things is that, you know, we told everybody to go pray for the people that you hand them to. And over to Columbia County, over the jail, I don't know what his rank was or whatever, but the gentleman came out. So I just grabbed his hand and he was like, thank you so much. I said, good, I'm going to pray for you. He said, that's fine. I said, hang on. And I wouldn't let go of his hand until I prayed for him. And he was grateful. same thing at the courthouse. I delivered to those two places for the county over here. And as I was driving, I drove away, and a couple minutes later, I get a phone call, and it's the sheriff, Sheriff Bartlett, and he says, hey, Rev, I was racing trying to get back here before you left for delivering the chickens. I'm so grateful. I almost ran two people off the road trying to get here before you left. But he says, next week, please come back. Give me a call. Make sure I'm here. Please come back, because I want to spend some time with you talking to the big man upstairs. And I was like, you know, that's what God does. That only God moves on the hearts of men and women, amen? But we've got to find more ways, and listen, each individual here, you've got to find a way to serve your community. We've got to get creative. We're supposed to take this out there, not keep this in here, amen? So that means all that you have, that means your time is not your own. Tell your neighbor, say, your time is not yours. All right, you gave it to God, just like those three people getting baptized right here today. Their life is not their own any longer. Your time now is his. And he says, I want you to change the world. And I believe that you have the power to do that through Christ who lives inside of you. Amen? You know, and then Monday I'll be heading down and meet these guys that have been doing work with the underground church in Iran. And really excited about that. so really praying that some doors would open, that we would be able to step into there and support the work somehow in what God is doing in Iran. Amen? And possibly, maybe go there sometime underground. Anybody in? All right, that's what I like. See, that's the body of Christ. All right, the rest of you, we're going to pray for you. All right? Father, in the name of Jesus. But we only have a couple of minutes before we're done. But, you know, I don't know. When I went to Iraq a couple years ago and stepped off the plane, and there was a whole different world, but we've been praying for that area for a long time, and God's doing the miraculous. He's not just doing the work, but I feel like sometimes people can believe for the miraculous in Iraq and in Iran, but they struggle in America. As far as influencing and transforming people's lives right here in America. But it's each of us believing that the word of God that comes out of your mouth has the same power when God spoke it in eternity, and now it starts to manifest in somebody else's heart, and they bow their knee and say, I want to come to church and I want to get baptized too, because those words that you spoke changed my life. So we're only the messengers of the word of God, which brings the power of God into a person's life, which transforms the heart inside. Amen? Because everyone is driven by their heart, right? All the issues of life flow out of the heart, the scripture says. And this morning, just with these couple of minutes, if you have your Bibles in John 14:6, Jesus said to him, because we're talking about the words in red, right? We've been staying in the words of red and the words of Jesus. And Jesus said, I'm the way, the... And the right. And he said, no one comes to the Father but through me. And you know, so many people out there are so offended by that statement that Jesus is truth and that there is no way for salvation other than through the name of Jesus Christ. Now for us, we're used to hearing that. But when you bring that outside, people get offended. Have you ever had a conversation with somebody that they got offended because you said there's no other way to the Father except through the Son, Jesus Christ? Because if you haven't, I would encourage you, tell everybody this week and see what happens. You're going to find how people respond to the power of the Word of God. And that's what our job is, to proclaim the Word of God. And then God starts because they're going to think about that. Now, obviously, we don't do it to try to start an argument. We do it to try to bring them to life. But the moment you say he's the only way, he is the truth. He's not a truth, but he is the truth. He is the one and only way to the Father. There's none. He was in the beginning, he is, and he always will be. And therefore, what he spoke, it came from eternity, it's for today, and it will last for all of eternity. Amen? All these words in red, they don't go away. They stand forever. Heaven and earth will pass away, but he said, my word will never pass away. So when we speak his word, that thing, when you speak it, it just keeps going and going and going, not only to the person you're speaking to, but to the next generation and the next generation and next generation. Because when they share that, the power, even if they don't believe it, when they say the words of God, power still goes forward. It still goes forward in people's lives. And in John 8, 31 and 32, Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed, if you continue in my word, then you are truly my disciples of mine. And you will know the truth, and the truth will what? It'll set you free. I was thinking about that song that we were singing, Nothing is Better Than You, when we were worshiping, and I just couldn't stop chewing on that thought. Nothing is better than you. And my question this morning would be, is there anything in our lives that we've not maybe said, but we've lifted up and made it better than him? Is a place to live, or is a job, or is a dollar bill, or is a place that you want to go into? Is there anything else that takes more of our time and our effort? Is there anything that consumes our thought process, our desires? Is there things that we plan for that we elevated more than him or higher than him? And you know, we're talking to the church. Tell your neighbor, say, that's you. Okay, the body of Christ. Because if we lift anything else up higher than him, then we're not walking in the fullness that he has promised us. Can we agree on that? When we bring everything in surrender to him, then we're elevating the word of God, which is the truth of God. We're putting that first and foremost in every area of our lives, not just some areas. It can't just be the place that we place it on Sunday mornings, right? Well, no, there's nothing more important to me than going to church on Sunday morning, but that's not it. That's just training and equipping to flop these four walls down and everybody run out of here and then do what we learned on Sunday morning. Amen? Right. Because is there anyone in here that cannot produce fruit? Absolutely not. See, so the issue is, are we producing fruit? That's always the issue in each one of our hearts. That's always the thought process. If there's nothing better than you, and then we're going to grab a hold of the word. We're going to stay in prayer. And again, I was just chewing on this a little while ago in worship. There's nothing better than you. And I was crying it out. And then I started thinking about my own life. And I was like, Lord, is there anything that I've lifted higher than you? Is there any thoughts that I have that consume me? You know, my wife was in Biloxi for the last few days. She just got home last night. So she was quarantined today. Because, you know, we have to follow the rules. And hey. So she was quarantining, and you know what? I love my wife, and I was so grateful when she came home, but even she can't be higher than him. I can't love her more than him. And, you know, that's where I always get in trouble. Anyone that we place above him. Because do you have a problem with anybody in this room? That means you place that problem above him. Because he said, this is how you're going to deal with your problem. Go to your brother if you got a problem with a brother. Amen? Right. And that's how we deal with it. We forgive, we repent, and then we go on. But if you hang on to that and you chew on that for the rest of the week, then you've got something that you've lifted above him. And I really believe that when the church grabs hold and say we have nothing, there's nothing better or greater than you. And every thought, the Bible says we need to take it captive, right? We've been hearing that quite a bit. Pastor Charlie shared on that too. But I really think that those thoughts that we each one of us allow in, they are just distractions. And the enemy has used them in the past because he's petrified of the power that you have when it's completely given to the purposes of God. Anything that overwhelms us. My bride coming home, it was just beautiful having her home and the house back in order, if you would, you know. We tried cleaning. We did the best we could. I even made the bed for the first time just before I left for the airport. The whole week, my bed was like, yeah, I don't have to be made. It was enjoying itself just as much as I was not making it. But then when she came home, I had it all made, you know, because, and I made sure that I didn't touch her pillow because she's got one of them pillows that forms to you. And even if I go to bed a little bit early and I'm reading, I'm sitting there and I'll use hers to prop my neck up. Well, honey, please don't use my pillow. Why? Well, because, you know, you warm it up and then it molds to your head and then it doesn't fit me. And then she got another one that she has to fluff. Please don't use that one. Why? Because you unfluff it. Mine's only this thick, so I use hers to prop me up. And then she's like, oh no, then there's a 10-minute ritual. Poof, 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 poof. And then straighten this one out, and then we have to fix every crease in the sheet. Everything has to be. The covers have to be folded just right. My bed was screaming, and I was using the pillow that she left. Ah! Freedom! But it's good to have her home. It's very good. Love you, Bren. Jesus said, on the way, the truth, and the life, and he said, listen, if you keep my words and you continue in my word, then you're truly the disciples of mine. And that means, you know, meaning that that word has to be above everything else. Is there anything else that you placed above his word? Do we not have time for his word because the news has to come on first? Do we not have time for his word because there's something else that we desire? When he said, my mercy is brand new in the morning, is there something more powerful that you can enter into or enjoy than his mercy first thing in the morning? How is it? Are we bypassing that moment when you wake up? He said, I'm here to pour out mercy upon you. But do we jump out and get busy with other things? And so I just want to encourage you. And in John 1:17, says, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through who? Jesus Christ. Grace and truth were realized. In other words, it was expressed perfectly on the earth. Truth was expressed beautifully through the Lord Jesus Christ. You are the ones to express truth beautifully on the earth. And this is a time and a season where, dear Lord, we need some truth. Because you don't turn the TV on. You're not going to find any truth there whatsoever. In John 17:17, he said, sanctify them in the truth, for your word is truth. And that sanctify, obviously, you've been separated. These guys were baptized today, confirming that separation, that sanctifying. You're not for common use any longer. You're for a special purpose. A beautiful plan with only the hands of God guiding you and steering you all the days of your life. You've been taken away from all the common stuff, those that are distracted, those that are wrapped up in foolishness. And God said, oh no, I'm going to sanctify them. When we agree with the truth teaches us what sanctification is. And he says, I'm separating you for something spectacular. That's what he says. Something that's going to transform and change. Because if nobody's lives are being changed by our lives, then are we living a sanctified life? Because God spoke it over us, amen? He proclaimed it. He empowered us to live a sanctified life, one that's separated from the cares of this world. And if we're living that out, then the power of God is going to be manifested through us and there's going to be fruit. Because he said, if a tree doesn't bear good fruit, what good is it, right? What good is it? And so we can't come in and think that, you know, we are just created here and hanging out for eternity, which we know and we've talked about many times. But I believe that there's a truth inside of you that wants out. There's a truth inside of you. If you'll just chew on these scriptures that we spoke about today, remembering, wait a minute, I've been sanctified. I've been sanctified by the power of the love of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. I've been set apart. And then I confirmed it through baptism that it's no longer me. That old man was dead, buried, and resurrected. Someone with a new purpose. Someone that was taken from just a common use and set apart for something beautiful. something powerful, something majestic, something that's earth-shattering, something that is eternal. But if we don't stay in the Word, which is truth, because Jesus Christ is truth, and he laid that out and lived it on the planet and said, listen, this is how you treat your brother. This is how you speak to your parents. This is how you give to those that are in need. This is what true religion is. This is what I want you to do. And here's what I don't want you to do. And that's where the church gets wrapped up, don't they? People get all wrapped up in what I'm not allowed to do. I don't know about being a Christian because what I can't do. Here's what he said. Don't be anxious. I like that one. He said, don't worry about tomorrow. I've already taken care of that. He said, don't worry about those that have offended you. You just bless them anyway. He said, don't worry about eternity. I'm already going to a place and preparing a place. Is that offensive? Does that bother people? Is that something where we say, ah, what good is that? He said, listen, my joy is going to come in the morning, so don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Let's enjoy today. These are the things that he has said that we can do and the things that he's going to do for each and every one of us. And then in closing, I just want to look at Romans chapter 1 and verses 18 to 20. It says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. Tell your neighbor, say, you have no excuse. Right. So the wrath of God is towards what? It's towards evil and it's towards sin. Tell your neighbor, say, that's not you. Right. Because you've been delivered from that. Amen. Right. So we're not worried about the wrath of God unless we step out into darkness. We can't be playing games with evil. And listen, to sit here and think that no one in here is dabbling in darkness would be naive. Amen. Because we all have thoughts and some are wrapped up and caught up in stuff that is outside the Word of God. And I want you to know, God said, look, I set you free from all of that. I made a way all out of all of that. Stop messing around with it. You know why he doesn't want you messing around with it? Because there's other people out there that need to hear the truth from somebody that's been delivered. What good is hearing from somebody that's in bondage? How many people in bondage have set people free? It's the people that found freedom that set people free, amen? And he said, the truth shall set you free. Right, so we're going to have to study the truth and walk in the truth. We know that the wrath of God is only about evil. It's only dealing with that and sin once and for all in the end. Praise God for that day, amen? Where he's going to do away with it. It's no longer going to be an issue that we read about in the book of Revelations. One day we'll be completely set free, or when you close your eyes here for the last time, and you stand before him as we walk through in the power of his blood, you won't have to worry about it either as you get your glorified body. But until that time, we're going to have to do some business with God, meaning we're going to have to study what the truth is. Because the truth is, you have no right to walk in unforgiveness. You don't have a freedom to do that. You have no right to walk angry. You said that old man is dead. You have no right to walk in greed and allow that to control us. We have no right to do whatever I want to do any longer. We laid our lives down and we said, we're all done. The truth said, you are not your own. Amen? So now we come to a whole different set of freedoms that we get to walk in. And I'll never forget, I know I've shared it before with Brother Vaughn before he passed away. You know, he said that there's a narrow gate. But once you walk through that narrow gate, meaning the gate being Jesus Christ, then there's wide open pastures. All that God has for you, he said, I'll pour it all on you. Once you come to accept me, you don't have to worry about evil. You don't have to worry about sin. You don't have to sit there and focus on that. I'm going to deal with that. And I've dealt with it. You've agreed to it. Now let's go on. Let's step out into the pasture and go and enjoy what I've given. And there's a whole wide world out there. And he said it in Genesis chapter 1. He said, go and take dominion, didn't he? He said, this is the freedom that I've given you. Go and take dominion. Look it. Don't worry about the animals and the birds and all of that. I clothe all of them and they're yours. Name them whatever you want. And those people that have given new names to animals like snakes and bugs, anything that freaks people out. Women get scared. That's all things. Sure. I hate those things. So we can name things anything we want, all right? But he said, I want you to go and I want you to enjoy, but I want you to walk in dominion. That walking in dominion is walking in the freedom that he's given you through Jesus Christ. Not walking in the freedom that and running off into the cares of the world or getting caught up in the foolish things that they're doing that are destroying human beings. They're setting them back in cages. How many Christians do you know that have walked back into a cage? Because they said, this is what I want to do, and it's outside the Word of God. But I am not interested in the truth right now. How many people, how many brothers and sisters are out there that need to come home like them prodigals because they're walking because maybe you offended them? Because you know it wasn't me. It had to be you. And therefore, you need to go and repent to them and invite them back to the household of faith. Amen? We need to draw them back because they walked out into darkness once again, knowing the truth, and they're not in their walking in their liberty. But this is one of the thoughts that I've been chewing on all week in verse 18. And he said, "For that of men who suppress the truth." Men who suppress the truth. And I just got thinking about it. We know that he was talking about unrighteousness and unrighteous living in verse 18. He goes into 19 and through the end of the chapter, and he talks about unrighteous where, you know, women are given to women, men are given to men, and all of that. He's dealing with it. But what he was talking about was the men who suppress the truth. And I started wondering, are we as men and women of God, do we suppress the truth? We know what he was dealing with here. It was a lifestyle that was unrighteous and wrong and sinful. But I started wondering, is the church suppressing the truth? Now listen, only you can answer that for your life. Only I can answer that for my life. Do I share the love of Christ when I walk out of here? Or do I hold my tongue? Am I suppressing? Because suppressing means to hold back. So does a man or a woman, when they walk in, depending on how they look or how they're dressed or what they do for a living, do you suppress or hold back the truth? Because this is a problem. The reason why the world is so screwy is because the church is holding back. The reason why it's so out of control, the church has been holding back on prayer. It's the hardest thing to get people to do, isn't it? It's the hardest meeting to get people encouraged about. We pray from 9 to 10 in the morning here before church. Love to have everybody here. Tell your neighbor, say, you should be there. All right. That way, you know, there's no condemnation for you in the house. It's them. Are we suppressing the truth? Is there anything greater than him? In the midst of this social media pandemic, the truth has been suppressed. Amen? How do you know who to look to? How do you know who to listen to? There's so many different voices, can I tell you? The Word of God is who you got to listen to. And then just do what He tells you to do. And we got to stop suppressing the truth and putting something just a little bit higher than what God has called us to do. Because He's called us to set them at liberty. He's called us to heal the sick. He's called us to encourage them to rise up out of the muck and the mire and come and follow us as we follow Jesus Christ. He's called us to be the light of the world. He said, I want you to just go tell them about me because I am truth. And when they grab a hold of the truth, oh, it's going to set them free. It's going to renew their mind. It's going to break every curse over their lives. It's going to deliver them from a lifestyle of despair and depression. Listen, if you're struggling with anxiety in the midst of this, your eyes are on the wrong thing. There's pressure that has come through this. We're not gonna, you know, say that there isn't, because nobody likes this kind of change that we're in. Amen. Nobody likes this kind of change, where you can't do as an American the way that you want to do things. Change came. But nothing is stopping you from proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ. Can I tell you? You can still preach through one of these. You might have to preach a little bit louder. That's good. Maybe more people will hear you. But you're not stopped from proclaiming the truth And Jesus said, if you proclaim the truth, you'll set people free. He said, if you'll speak about me, I'm the way, the truth, and I'm the very life for each and every one. Don't suppress it anymore. And you know, it's only a question that I've had to deal with all the day, all week in my heart. Lord, is there a day? Is there a moment? Is there something else that has my heart where I have suppressed, maybe in the past, maybe today, whatever it is, have I suppressed the truth from being proclaimed through my life? And you have to ask yourself, and that's between you and the Father. But I want you to do a serious inventory. Why? Because some people are going to die this week. Some people are going to die this week, and you might be the only voice they hear. You might be the last chance that they have. And if an opinion of someone else stops you or causes you to suppress the truth, a dollar bill stops us from proclaiming the truth or suppressing it, causes us to suppress it. A desire that I'd rather be somewhere else or I don't have time for this, and it causes us to suppress the truth. I just want to encourage you this week. Don't allow the truth to be suppressed in your heart, in your mind, reading the word, in your home, at your workplace, in the store, wherever it is. Don't allow it to be suppressed because of someone else. Allow the Holy Spirit to say, hey, this is the person I want you to talk to. I met a guy this morning walking. He was walking down the street. I was coming back to the church from the river. He was coming down, and I said, good morning, everybody. There was a bunch of people out this morning. Normally, I'm the only one. And he's walking down Warren Street, and I said, hey, how you doing today? He said, I'm doing good. You're from the church, right? I said, yeah, do you go to church? He said, yeah, I go to yours. I said, you been there in a while? He said, no. I said, you think it's time to come back? He said, I said, I believe there's something greater that God has for your life. And I believe that other people's lives can be transformed by you. I said, so grab a hold of the truth and allow the truth to lead and guide you and get back in church so that God can fill you with everything that you have need of. And he can give you strength to go and do what he's called you to do. All right, he says. Whether I ever see him, I don't know. Whether he'll be here, I don't know. But can I tell you, it doesn't matter what time of day, it doesn't matter who it is, it doesn't matter whether you've spoke it to him 100 times. Don't suppress the truth this week. Don't allow it to be suppressed. 3 people got baptized today because the truth wasn't suppressed. That old man died. We've already letting the water out because we don't want that nasty, disgusting, demon-filled water in the church. You know what I mean? Don't worry, it'll be in the river soon. But we want to make sure that we get rid of that. We want that old man dead. But not just here. We want that old man dead out there. Every person in your family, I'm looking forward to baptizing all of them. Amen? Every single one that you represent. And they will be here if you don't suppress the truth. If you will grab a hold of the truth. And he said the truth will set you free in order to proclaim it to everyone around you. But we got to stop suppressing it. Stop holding back. There's nothing else to build on this earth. Nothing but the kingdom. Nothing but the kingdom. Don't draw back. Press in this week. And just sit down with God in the morning and say, Father, I'm not going to suppress the truth this morning. The truth is going to, maybe I got to get up a little bit earlier so I have extra time to make sure I'm in the word and I'm in prayer. So that as I speak, the only thing I do is I speak truth. And if I can speak truth to one person and there's a couple more standing around, guess what? When that truth goes, it's like a ricochet. Just bing, 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 bing. It hits everybody in the area and you don't know whose heart is prepared and ready to accept Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's not suppress the truth this week as the body of Christ. Let's stand up. Don't suppress it. The news is trying to suppress the truth. Social media is trying to suppress your voice. They're trying to stop you from saying whatever you want to say out there, whether it's YouTube and everything else. Just preach Christ. Just preach Christ. Can I encourage you? Stop getting distracted with all the silliness out there. Stop getting distracted with it. There's some people that chase everything in all different directions. we've got to zone in on one thing, His Word. If Christians would just encourage each other on Facebook instead of berate and argue with one another on Facebook. You know the kind of message that sends to the world? Look at, they got a couple hundred people in that church and they can't get along. What happens with the rest of the world? They argue with one another. They fight amongst themselves, suppressing the truth. See, if you want to challenge somebody, go to their house. All right? That's what we do. You want to challenge something they said? Go to them. Go to them. Don't put it out there where it looks silly. Put the truth out there because it'll set them free. You're the ones that set people free. You've got to understand that's who you are. You're one that changes people's lives when you speak by the authority of His Word. There is no truth that's higher than the name of Jesus Christ. There is no truth higher than the Word of God. There's nothing except Him. Let's not suppress it this week. Amen? Because I'm looking for fruit in your life. I am so excited. Some have fruit. Some are just getting started, maybe in your walk. But the issue is, the tree that has good fruit, He prunes and there's more fruit. That's the issue. Those who walk closest to the truth have fruit. And then they get pruned and there's even more fruit. But if we're not walking close to the fruit, the truth, speaking truth, then we're going to be limited in the fruit that we produce. Amen? I think there's a whole bunch of fruit-bearing trees in here this morning. There's been enough fruit loops. Now we need fruit-bearing trees. Amen? We've done that already. That was before we knew Jesus Christ. But now it's time to walk in that freedom that He has given us to preach Christ and Him crucified. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for the body of Christ. Lord, I thank You for the men and women of God. And Lord, as we stand here today, we know that we only stand before You and You alone. For You're the forgiver, You're the healer, You're the deliverer, You're the redeemer, You're the restorer, You're all that we have need of. Father, right now, we just speak to anybody that's anxious. Relax in the name of Jesus Christ. Be anxious for nothing. And Father, today, we agree that You have made great provision for us so far, and You're going to continue. Father, let us take our lives and lay them down so that You would be glorified. Father, let us live in such a way, Lord, that if there's anything between our soul and our Savior, anything that we have been lifting up and suppressing the truth or causing it to suppress the truth in our lives, where our time is given and we've gotten caught up or distracted in something else, and it's actually slowed down the path that You have us on because we let go of the truth. We let go of You. We set those things aside for Sunday morning, and then the cares of this world consume us. Father, we repent this morning for anything that we have allowed to cause us to suppress the truth in our lives. For we want those that we come in contact with this week. Oh God, we want them to have that transformational experience of knowing You as their Lord and Savior the way that we did, the day You changed us forever. We want them to have that moment with You that's better than 1,000 years. We want them, oh God, that when we touch, when we grab a hold of their hand with ours, that there's an impartation of power and authority that transforms them forever because of the truth that we've hidden in our hearts. The truth that has renewed our minds. Father, we want to see their eyes open and they're able to see in the spiritual realm finally to understand the beauty and the majesty of the King who created them and set them free. And Father, we want those to walk in liberty out from underneath the addictions, out from underneath fear in the name of Jesus, out from underneath all the rejection that they've been walking in. Father, we want them to walk free the way that you have called us to walk in our freedom. We want them to walk through that gate into that magnificent field of your provision that's beyond anything we can ever ask or think, so that they would go and take dominion everywhere they walk. Father, we're all done suppressing the truth. We're going to hide it in our hearts. We're going to renew our minds. And Father, we're going to take anything that we've lifted up above it. Help us to set that aside. Sell it if we have to. Give it away. Anything, oh God, that would take our eyes off of magnifying your name through our lives. Thank you. Thank you for changing us today. In the name of Jesus, let freedom fill every heart here now. Freedom from anxiety, freedom from fear, freedom from depression in the name of Jesus. Those lies, get out in the name of Jesus. Rejection, you have no authority in our lives anymore. For the truth is that our God loves us with an everlasting love, and he'll never leave us nor forsake us. His word is my truth. His word is our truth. His word I'll stand upon, and I'll walk free in the body of Christ, knowing that I'm accepted by the King of glory and all of those around me. Thank you, Father, for liberating each and every one. Now, Holy Spirit, a fresh and filling, oh God. Again, Lord, again. Thank you, Father. Thank you for perfect peace in the house of God. That even when we walk out of these walls and we step out in to darkness or into a place where it seems like there's a war going on, Father, we walk in perfect peace. We're not those that react. We just simply act on the word of God and say, come follow me. For you'll find no freedom in the direction that you're going. It just ends up stepping off and falling off a cliff into a Christless eternity. Father, thank you for the boldness this morning. Holy Spirit, fill each one with boldness this morning, so that no matter where we walk today, we won't suppress the truth, but we'll let the truth flow out of each and every one of us, changing the lives of those around us. And Lord, we pray for those in India, those in Africa, Father, those in Guatemala, Father, that each one, those that we have worked with in Iraq and Egypt, Father, that each one of those pastors, you would strengthen them in this time of lockdown. You would strengthen them in a time of great lack. And Father, that each one of our brothers and sisters that are being persecuted, Father, we pray that you would come alongside of them now. Now, oh God, strengthen them, envelop them, put your hedge of protection around them, so that as they stand in some of the most tumultuous places on the planet, they would be able to say, hey, come follow me, for Jesus Christ is able to set you free. We thank you for the expansion of your kingdom through us and those that proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray for those that are in authority over us. We speak life into their bodies, life into their understanding, life through the word of God. Father, let their eyes be open to see the truth. No longer walking with blinders and in darkness. Scales fall off in the name of Jesus. Ears be able to hear what the truth is. And Father, we pray that not only them, but every one of their family members would walk with you. Lord, today we give you the glory and the honor, and we thank you for hearing our cry and answering it. We thank you, Father, that our minds are being renewed daily by the reading of your word. We'll give ourselves to it, Father, more and more and more every day. For we know that in it are the words of life. Ah, thank you for allowing us to live a life free. Free from fear, free from worry, free from the wrath of God. We truly are free indeed this morning. because of the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. And it's in your name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. You're free to do the will of your Father. I want to encourage you. If there's any area that you've been suppressing, let it go. And let's preach His word. God bless you.
Morning's message. I want you to know also that the word of truth, when it goes out, it accomplishes those things with which it was sent forth to do. So be expecting Him to do a work in your life this week, as we're expecting it to. The seed was planted, now it's going to be watered, and it's going to grow, and it's going to produce a harvest of righteousness in your lives. If you were encouraged by this morning's message, or if you'd like more information about your relationship with Jesus Christ, please drop us an email at info@rocksolidchurch.net or call the church at 518-828-2444. Thank you, God bless you, and have a wonderful day.